ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 20। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द रेनी सीजन एंड ऑटम इन वृंदावन। जस्ट रीड द समरी टू एनहांस द डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णस पास टाइम्स। श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी डिस्क्राइब्स इन दिस चैप्टर द ब्यूटी ऑफ वृंदावन ड्यूरिंग ऑटम एंड द रेनी सीजन। In the course of his presentation, he gives various charming instructions in metaphorical terms. Text number one, till text four we'll read. We'll take text number one. Sri Shuka Uvacha Tayo Tad Adbhutam Karma दावाग्नेर मोक्षम आत्मनः गोपाः स्त्रीभ्यः समाचक्यः समाचक्युः प्रलम्भ वधम् एव च। श्री शुक उवाच तयोस्तम अद्भुतम कर्म दावाग्निर्मोक्षमात्मनः गोपास्त्रिभ्यः समाचक्युः लम्बवधम् एव च। श्री शुक उवाच तयोस्तद् अद्भुतम् कर्म दावाग्निर्मोक्षमात्मनः गोपाः स्त्रीभ्यः समाचक्युः प्रलम्भवदमेव च। श्रीशुक उवाच तयोस्तद् अद्भुतम् कर्म दावाग्निर्मोक्षमात्मनः गोपाः स्त्रीभ्यः समाचक्युः प्रलम्भवदम् एव च। तमद्भुतं कर्म दावाग्निर्मोक्षमात्मनः गोपास्त्रीभ्यः समाचक्युः प्रलम्भवदमेव च। श्रीशुक उवाच तयस्तम् अद्भुतं कर्म दावाग्निर्मोक्षमात्मना गोपाः स्त्रीभ्यः समाचक्यु प्रलम्बवदमेव च। माताजी श्रीशुक उवाच। श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी से तयोः of the two of them, Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, tat, that, adbhutam, amazing, karma, action, Davagne. From the forest fire. Moksham. The deliverance. Atmanaha. Of themselves. Gopaha. The coward boys. Stribhyaha. To the ladies. Samachakyuhu. They describe in detail. Prambavadham. The killing of Pralambasur. Iva. Indeed. Cha. Also. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami said, to the ladies of Vrindavan, the coward boys then related in full detail Krishna's and Balaram's wonderful activities of delivering them from the forest fire and killing the demon Pralamba. Text number 2. The elder coward men and ladies were amazed to hear this account, and they concluded that Krishna and Balaram must be exalted demigods who had appeared in Vrindavan. Then the rainy season began, giving life and sustenance to all living beings. The sky began to rumble with thunder, and lightning flashed on the horizon. Text number 4. Sandra Nilham Budhir Vyama Savidyat Stanayit Nubihi Aspushta Jyotir Achannam Brahmeva Sagunam Babahu. Translation. The sky was then covered by dense blue clouds, accompanied by lightning and thunder. Thus the sky and its natural illumination were covered in the same way that the spirit soul is covered by the three modes of material nature. Purport. Lightning is compared to the modes of goodness, thunder to the mode of passion, and clouds to the mode of ignorance. Thus the cloudy sky at the once onset of the rainy season is analogous to the pure spirit soul when he becomes disturbed by the modes of nature. For at that time he is covered and his original brilliant nature is only dimly reflected through the haze of the material qualities. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jutapada Kamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamsha. Namo Mishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Iti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini Vancha Kalpatarubhascha Kripa Sindhubhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Ram, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So this chapter is very beautiful, wherein the description of rainy and autumn season is described by Sukadeva Goswami. And very interestingly, in beauty, there is exploitation for a conditioned soul. Whenever he sees something beautiful, there is a tendency to exploit that it is meant for me. But here Sukadeva Goswami, he is seeing the beauty of Vrindavan, but is giving instruction. So therefore, the Krishna conscious perspective is to always learn. Even though there is beautiful description, beautiful things to see, or nice prasadam to eat, so the exploitative tendency is anti-Krishna consciousness. And learning to progress in Krishna consciousness is Vrindavan consciousness. So we see in this verse, in this whole entire chapter, it's a very beautiful chapter. In fact, Prabhupada wrote a book called Light of Bhagavat. Before he went to America, he had a facility, if somebody had sponsored to go to Japan and present, based on this ecological system of Vrindavan. And there is something to learn also. And he wrote that book, very beautifully written. Every aspect of Vrindavan beauty, whether it is thunder, whether it is lightning, whether it is cloud, it is talking about something for us to learn. So therefore, it is explained that Vrindavan is a land of where you learn and where you serve Krishna. And unfortunately, a living entity, a conditioned soul, his nature is to exploit wherever he goes. Like in the Ramayana we see that Shurpanaka, after seeing Lord Ram, most beautiful, she appreciated Ram's beauty, but she wanted to exploit his beauty at the cost of Mother Sita. And anyone who does like that, they are basically followers of Shurpanaka only. You know, wanting to exploit Lord Ram, sidelining Mother Sita. Same thing with Ravan also. He wanted to exploit the beauty of Mother Sita at the cost of Lord Ram. So we see it's a very fantastic, beautiful chapter. And here, Sukadeva Goswami begins the instruction of three modes of material nature. The living entity, by nature, very pure, full of knowledge, full of bliss, full of eternity. On the other hand, there are non-Vedic religion, they talk about living entity as being sinful since the beginning of the creation. So when there is sinful, inherent quality is sinful, then how can you deliver yourself? Somebody else has to deliver you. But here, because the living entity is pure, but because it's covered by the three modes of material nature, there is a facility for the living entity by working very hard, by practicing yoga process, either by bhakti yoga, astanga yoga, karma yoga, jnana yoga. Of course, Gita proposes highest concept of bhakti yoga. By the process of yoga, one can actually overcome the covering of the three modes of material nature. And bhakti yoga includes the hard work of the living entity and plus the grace of the Lord. Two fingers too short. The story of Yashodamai binding Krishna. But the three modes of material nature, if we study carefully, is all pervading. We cannot avoid three modes of material nature and we cannot not learn about it. Avoiding three modes of material nature, thinking, you know, like one doctor was telling me. He said, these people, you know, you see around, he is an allopathic doctor only. He said, you see all these people walking all the time, running, jogging. He said, it's very interesting. He said, very funny also. He was giving mathematical calculation. He said that when you run around for 1 hour, you jog for 1 hour, you lose 100 calories. And you eat one batata vada, you gain 150 calories. So if your bhakti is like that, you know, we are gaining too much of three modes of material nature. Material nature, the modes are so powerful. We are jogging, chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra. Trying to gain some spiritual benefits to advance in Krishna consciousness. But adding the three, I was quite shocked to hear that. You know, that small batata vada, it doesn't take much time. People can eat 10, 12, 15, 14 without any trouble. So there is no hard labor involved in eating one vada. But running 1 hour is so difficult. Not many people can do that also. But how much you lose? Very little. So the material world is so arranged that good things require great labor to achieve. And the bad things, you don't have to do anything. Just eat one batata vada. You know? So we see this. So therefore, three modes of material nature, whether it is in the Bhagavatam, whether it is in the Gita, whether it is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna focuses on this aspect, on the three modes of material nature. So therefore, in the 17th chapter, the Lord explains in the division of faith. It talks about food habits also. And one should be aware, you know, in practicing Krishna consciousness, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, one has to contemplate and work on overcoming the anarthas also. Only when the anarthas are overcome, then there is artha prapti. Artha prapti is not imaginary. Artha prapti and anartha nivritti in the process of Krishna consciousness go hand in hand. If you only wait for the grace, no, without working hard, then we will take the principle of grace also very lightly. So therefore, because the living entity is full of knowledge, full of bliss and full of eternity, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, a living entity also has to put in efforts to overcome his anarthas. So when certain anarthas, he explains certain anarthas living entities have to overcome on their own efforts. And certain anarthas are beyond the living entity. That will be dealt by Krishna. But unless a living entity works hard to overcome, he cannot just expect grace. He has to work hard. So therefore the three modes of material nature, Krishna explains so systematically. Like I was talking to one devotee. His father is a psychiatrist. Very interesting point he said. I said, can you tell me some stories, you know? You must have spoken to your father. He said, yes. He said, I'll tell you one very funny story. He said, this was when his father was learning under one very famous and well-known psychiatrist in Mumbai. So they got a case. And for 2 hours, they interrogated this patient. After interrogating this patient for 2 hours, they concluded that he has no problem. He's normal. Just see, the famous one psychiatrist and 3 other students, they are watching, they are hearing, asking questions and he is replying. And he was quite sane. And therefore they concluded that he is normal. When they said, actually you are normal, there is no problem with you. So this man, he picks up imaginary phone, this was many years back. And he says, let me speak to Brahmadev. That means he is speaking to Lord Brahma. And he said, this psychiatrist saying that I am normal. Is it right? So they realize he's on the 4th level of madness. So for 2 hours after interrogating, they did not realize. So the insanity in the living entity, like Prabhupada writes in, I think, Sri Shopanishad, that somebody murdered someone. And after murdering, you know, he was pleading guilt, pleading mercy that, you know, it happened accidentally, I didn't want to murder. And his lawyer said, actually when he murdered, he was little insane. So with that, they could, medically you could get away with it. So then the public prosecutor, he said, no, actually everybody is somewhat mad only in this material world. Then madness is there. Therefore on this ground, if you release people, then all crime has to be, you know, freed. Nobody can be called as criminal. And why this madness is there? This madness is there because of the three modes of material nature only. In fact, the entire creation, the Bhagavatam explains, the creation begins because of the false ego. Ichha dvesha samutvena dvandva mohena bharata. Because the living entity, you know, because of that envy towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead and limitless desire, he is put into the world of duality. So if you study creation, false ego, which has 3 features, whether our senses, our intelligence, our mind, they are not just made like that. They are coming through, you know, the intelligence is coming by the mode of goodness, the mode of passion. False ego is coming through the mode of goodness. So the senses and the sense objects, either one of them, they are all connected to 3 modes of material nature. So therefore, anything in this world basically, whether it is food, whether it is charity, whether it is austerity, whether it is time factor, whether it is different environment, I remember one time myself, Gaur Gopal Prabhu, we were going with Maharaj after Sharad Purnima festival. He had to go for Radha Ras Bihari for a meeting. And it was late night, you know, he slept very late. So he had to chant it around. He said, let us go before the meeting starts. Let us go to the beach, Juhu Beach, to chant Hare Krishna mantra. So, you know, we also had to chant our rounds. So we were chanting, and Maharaj is also chanting on the beach. So after 45 minutes, Maharaj said, he said, everywhere we see water and Ajamil Kand here. No? So, even though we were with our spiritual master, but the environment is not favorable to practice Krishna consciousness. You can't say, I can go with my guru to any place. No. I am not on that level. No, we are not on that level. So therefore, even though you are with your spiritual master, you have to be with your spiritual master when he is giving Harikatha, when he is giving instruction in regards to how to serve Krishna. Not that you hang around with him everywhere. No, that doesn't benefit anybody. Maharaj said it is, and we were thinking, my God, why are we here? Early morning hours. No, people start Ajamil Khan from the morning time only. So that is not a right place for a devotee to be in. So afterwards, I didn't think we ever went again. Why? Because it's not a good place. So even the environment for that matter is connected with three modes of material nature. There is sattva-guna environment, there is rajoguna environment, there is tamoguna environment. Therefore, chanting early morning, I remember when we were practicing Krishna consciousness as a student in my hometown, one devotee was guiding us. So you'd have Mangal Arati in the night time, you know, around 10 o'clock. We didn't know when to have Mangal Arati. We would play a tape of a Vrindavan devotee chanting samsara prayers. So we wrote to a devotee, you know, Prabhuji, hum log raat ko 10 baje Mangal Arati karte hain. Mangal Arati means auspicious. Begin your day with Mangal Arati. You don't do Mangal Arati in the night time. You don't wake up the DTs in 10 o'clock in the night, like the party people, you know, they start waking up in the night time. So wake up the Lord in the morning hours and you wake up yourself. And you begin your day by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then, of course, the chanting is transcendental. Prabhupada explains, but we are not transcendental. And because we are not transcendental, we have to find the best time to practice our spiritual life. Even music, even instruments for that matter, we see Brahmaji is holding Veena. So that represents mode of passion. Lord Shiva is holding Damru. And that represents mode of ignorance. And basically if you see, when people are playing Mrudang, including myself, when we play Mrudang, and if you are not following this singer, and singer represents, the vocal cord represents mode of goodness. And I've seen it many times. You know, whenever you play mrudang, the tendency of a mrudanga player is, there is one particular beat. When you play that beat, you want to stop the kirtan. So that stopping kirtan is leading towards, you know, destruction. So many times Maharaj used to, when he would sing and the mrudanga players are playing in such a way that is forced, because there is a speeding up of the mrudanga. So then you have to say, ni tai, that means what? Again you stop and again restart. So there is a competition between a mrudanga player and a singer. One wants to maintain and one wants to finish it off. So we see that even the instrument for that matter, even the incarnations, the three gunas, guna avatars, Lord Shiva is doing his Tandava Nritya. And Lord Brahmaji is after creation. So there is mode of passion. Not that Lord Shiva is in mode of ignorance. He represents that quality. You know, Lord Shiva is pure Vaishnava. Lord Brahmaji is the personality of parampara, our parampara. So they represent that quality. So there is a continual influx of these gunas in every aspect. So how can we say that these gunas are not affecting us? The gunas do affect us. In fact, Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam purport, he says, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam He said, even these are in three gunas. Therefore, there are 81 varieties of Navaveda Bhakti. There is Shravanam in the mode of goodness. There is Shravanam in the mode of passion. There is Shravanam in the mode of ignorance. There is Shravanam in the mode of, there is a hearing. Kirtanam in the mode of goodness. That we see all the time. And there is Kirtanam in the mode of passion. There is Kirtanam in the mode of ignorance also. There is dancing in the mode of goodness. There is dancing in the mode of passion. There is a dancing in the mode of ignorance also. Therefore, if you study in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam and also in other literatures, it is warned for the spiritual practitioner how to deal with music. Because music can create a lower nature to rise if it is not used properly, if it is not sattva-guna music. So we see this whole concept of three modes of material nature is all pervading like Paramatma, like air. Therefore, in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Kapil Muni explains to Mother Devavati the principles of devotional service, before describing bhakti, which is beyond the modes of material nature, lakshanasya bhakti, lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunas udaharata, that bhakti which is beyond three modes of material nature, that bhakti, has no stoppage. It is unrestricted. There is no stoppage in that bhakti. Nobody will stop whatever happens because there is a clear concept of freedom from three modes of material nature. Otherwise, many times, bhakti based upon our guna, sometimes it's very enthusiastic, sometimes it is passive, and sometimes it totally stops. The conditioned soul, he practices his spirituality also based upon the effect of the three gunas. Therefore, it is called as sapekshita satya, relative world. Relative world means what? There has to be an impetus from outside to do something. If there is no impetus from outside, we do not do anything. So therefore, there is a competition. And because of that competition, that how do a student or anyone for that matter wants to do something based upon comparative? I'm going to do this because, this person is doing. So there is no self-conviction. Unless there is a self-conviction caused by proper understanding of scripture, then this is a very dangerous part of, dangerous type of activities. That I am only doing because others are forcing me. Previously people would not drink. Why? Because they are afraid of the society. Now people are drinking because they are afraid of the society. If you are not there, they say, if I am not there, then I will not be accepted. If I don't dress like this, I will not be accepted. If I don't do like this, I will not be accepted. There is always fear of the society. I remember, where someone would be drunk, the entire family, they would be so much would feel, what is this? How can we see our face? They are not drinking. Maybe their father, their son is drinking, but that would cause so much of disturbance in the family that how can we show our face? Now the same thing. If they don't drink, how can we show our face? Even our own devotee children, when they go out to college, they don't want to appear as separatist. They don't mind breaking the rules. Why? Because I need to appear, because I need a survival in regards to acceptance. If the acceptance is not there, how will I survive? So our acceptance, our survival, our prosperity, our stability is all based upon others' opinion. And therefore, the Vedic system talks about, this self-governance. Swaraj. Ki, I need to practice my spirituality, not because somebody else is telling. I practice Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada explains in the Gita purport, because it's a matter of duty, at least in the beginning stage. I have no other choice. I need to do it. Whether the world accepts me, world does not accept me, I can't care. Why? Because it is my duty. It is not based upon what others say. And therefore, unfortunately, the modern world, the modern materialistic world, which is, uprooted from the concept of dharma, which is only focusing on artha and kama, is a very interesting concept. I was discussing with our Shikshastakam Prabhu. You know, he served in the Air Force. So he has a lot of, you know, experiences of what real life is. We say life is like a war. He was actually involved. You know, he knew what war is. He knew what life is, you know, getting trained up. So he said, his teacher had taught them one concept. He said, the most of the world always want to be a spectator. If you see, the modern world is arranged in such a way that most number of people are spectators. Therefore, there is large number of people in a cricket stadium, football stadium. 1,20,000 people. You know, how many people watch IPL cricket match? Crores. Crores of people watch and only few people play. He said, this is violence. Why this is violence? And he was saying he was a tennis player. Being a tennis player, his teacher had told him, he said, you should never watch. You should only play. He said, if you ever watch a famous player playing, then you'll be very analytical. Are uske jaisa main khel hi nahi sakta hu. He said, never watch them play, you practice playing. You get trained by the expert people. He said, never watch. Watching means you become a spectator. You will never contribute. I remember one time some of our young children, they came to Maharaj. That time they would actually would come and ask, should we watch television? Now they just watch television. So they came and asked, Maharaj, can we go and watch cricket match? So Maharaj said, why you want to watch? What is the benefit of watching? Why don't you play? He said, if you play, you are contributing to your life. If you only watch, you are contributing to somebody else's pocket. So therefore this whole, it's very deep. So he explained, he was explaining very nicely, he said, if you see, most people want to be spectators, unfortunately. And therefore there are too many heroes in this world. Too many heroes means world famous heroes. There is no such thing as world famous heroes in a Vedic system, because there are many heroes in all local areas. There is not one hero who is number one. There was no such concept of he's a number one actor, he was a number one player, he was a number one musician. There were hundreds of such people. And he gave a very nice example. He said one time his boss was telling them that during the India-Pakistan war in 1971, one army officer was deployed in the borders, and his mother came there. Now mother, what she will do there? So he asked, what are you doing here? He said, you cannot be here. It's not possible you should be here. So his mother said, look, beta, ki agar main ghar pe baithungi, if I'm sitting in the home, I'll be worrying. No, I'll be thinking, I'll be sending negative signals. Kuch bhi ho jayega, something will happen to my son. So I'll not be contributing anything. Rather, I'll be contributing negative energy to you. But if I come here, I know I can't fight. I know I can't do anything. But I would stay in your kitchen, and to your battalion, I will cook food. And while cooking, I'll put all my motherly affection. And by putting that motherly affection into the food will be very, you know, powerful. So when you fight for your country, you're not going to only fight, are mujhe abhi karna padega. He said, you'll fight because that consciousness is entered into that food. So therefore there is a higher level of consciousness in your attitude when you are doing your duty. So he was saying, his boss was saying, just see, she expressed and actually executed the activities of being a participant, not spectator. Spectator means mode of ignorance. And participant means what? Actively involved, trying to change things from one situation to another situation. So similarly, he told another story. He said, one person wanted to join the Air Force, but he was not qualified because he was not fit. But he was insisting, Are mujhe le lo, mujhe kuch to karna hai mere desh ke liye. But you are not fit. Tum kuch bhi nahi kar sakte. You can't do anything. He said, at least I can make one bullet of my enemy less. I can do this much. I can minimize one bullet of my enemy. I may not be able to do something positive, but at least I can minimize one of their bullets. So he was mentioning that how one should be so involved that don't become spectator. So therefore, mode of ignorance means what? Mode of ignorance means what? It is basically being a spectator. It is inertia, Prabhupada explains. Inertia means that I don't want to do anything. And one who is always lamenting for no good reason. Prabhupada defines, Aryan means one who is advanced in civilization. And Shudra means what? One who is lamenting for no good reason. Anything makes us lament, you know, that is Ravan principle. And anybody laments for Ravan principle is a Shudra. So in this way, when we understand Krishna consciousness, the anartha part, and when we practice the spiritual sadhana, shravanam, kirtanam, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, then there is actual progress. You know, our calories are coming down and the batatavada is not going in. So there is a balance between our exercise of advancing in Krishna consciousness and also minimizing our anarthas. Otherwise the question always comes into the mind of a practicing devotee, why I'm not advancing? You know, after chanting so many years, associating with devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam lecture, and now the desiretree.com is there where there are 18,000 lectures are there. You know, 18,000 lectures are there. So you can't blame that there is not enough material for hearing. There is enough material for hearing, but still why there is no progress? The progress is not there because anukulyasa sankalpa pratikulyasa varjanam. Bhakti, if you study carefully, is beautiful science. It's amazing science. And if the steps are wrong, then the results will be wrong. So we can't blame anybody. We have to blame ourselves. Understand, okay, where did I go wrong? I went wrong here. That understanding has to be there. And to understand what is right and what is wrong, we have to be connected to the scripture. Like Bhagavatam explains in the third canto, I was quoting Kapil Muni. Kapil Muni explains to Mother Devahuti, he said, what is bhakti in mode of ignorance? He said, bhakti in mode of ignorance, you know, has envy and is proud, violent and angry. Anyone who is continuously exhibiting these four qualities, you know, first it happens in the mind, then it happens verbally, then it happens physically. Continuously angry, continuously violent, continuously proud and continuously envy, but he is worshipping Vishnu. So Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one should accept him as a devotee, no doubt, but one should avoid his association. Why? Because that violent kind of devotional service will create a very conflicting situation in the society, in the association of devotees. Such people will create tension, such people will create a lot of conflict, such people will create, you know, there is no unity amongst devotees. They are fighting with each other. And yesterday we were discussing. And a person with that kind of background, he preaches Krishna consciousness, he will certainly attract such class. When he attracts such class, then there is a greater violence because you are attracting more violent people. You are attracting more angry people. You are attracting more envious people. And when two envious person, two people who are with pride, they stay together, it is not that pride is minimized. You know, when the two prides come together, you know, things break down. You know, the glasses break down, you know, your shirts are torn apart, and then you are, you know, people actually become physically violent. Why? Because that is a natural tendency, separatism. And then Kapil Muni explains bhakti in mode of passion. These are the realities of life, actually realities of life. Becoming gopi is not a reality in this lifetime. No, making, feeling like yesterday Radha Govind Maharaj explaining very nicely. He said, we don't have to worry about separation of Krishna because we are already separated from Krishna. We don't have to worry about that. We are already separated. That is the problem. Where is the question of, you know, feeling separation from Krishna? No, he said, that will not come now. No, that will come to Mahaprabhu only. To Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. Because they had the union with Krishna and they can experience separation. Now our position is that we are questioning Krishna's existence. We have like Satsuru Maharaj explains in one of his book. He said, our faith in Krishna is very intellectual, if it is. You know, or it is again based upon others are saying. It's good in one sense because it is connected to Krishna consciousness, but it is not very substantial. My faith in Krishna consciousness is only based upon, you know, at least there are 10 people who are practicing around me, so therefore I am practicing. But their number increases, those who are not practicing, then my faith comes down. Then it's like a democracy, you know. Whoever gives me greater influence of practicing or not practicing, that is not bhakti proper. Bhakti proper means what? There is a personal conviction. So in the mode of passion, what is mode of passion? Mode of passion bhakti is, there is an inherent tendency that one uses Krishna for material enjoyment. That Krishna has to provide material enjoyment. Prabhupada writes very nicely. He says, such a person tries to draw as much as possible from Krishna. Jitna Krishna ko kam de sakte utna de do, aur jitna jyada le sakte utna le lo. One in one conversation, you know, Prabhupada was giving, defining the concept of the grace of God. He said, in Krishna consciousness, Krishna is so kind, he said, you don't have to be struggling so hard. You know, just by little practice of Krishna consciousness, you can advance immensely. So immediately one devotee said, then Prabhupada, why should I struggle chanting 16 rounds, following 4 regulative principles, if the process, so he said, that is called as material calculation. You know, I am telling you this story so that you can be more grateful to Krishna with this so less. Prabhupada had a different agenda. And this devotee had a different agenda. Now Prabhupada was trying to give them temptation that with so less you can advance, so why not do more? You know, he is greedy for Krishna. But here this, you know, a neophyte devotee, he is seeing from a different perspective. The same concept, you know, the same concepts are there, but how do I apply it? When Rupa Goswami tells the story, that just by circumambulating Krishna's temple, you are freed from birth, old age, disease and death. What is his intention? His intention is not that you will do less devotional service. His intention is that, I hope by saying this, people will take to Krishna consciousness more. But on the other hand, another person who is not on the level of Rupa Goswami uses the statement for his benefit. Agar ek chakkar se ho jata hai, toh kyun janega idhar udhar? You know, why should I chant 16 round? So drawing as much as possible from Krishna is the nature of conditioned soul. So when he does not get result from Krishna, then he questions why it is not happening. So that is the first principle. One who is practicing bhakti in the mode of passion is that he wants something. Therefore people go to demigod temples. Or they make Krishna also into demigod. And in fact they quote, you know, whenever there is a discussion that should we approach Krishna? Oh, Krishna says, Bhagavatam 4th canto explains that akama, sarvakama, moksha kama, udarada tivrena, bhakti yogena, ejatam purusham param. Krishna says that either for material desire or for no material desire, by any means you come to me. What does it mean that Krishna is trying to show his heart? And if we do not reciprocate, that Krishna, no, I do not want like this. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, it is so amazing. Just try to see the qualities of the Lord when he defines four kinds of people: Artho, Artharthi, Jnani and Jigyasu. From the definition of bhakti point of view, all these four are Kanishtas. But from Krishna's point of view, they are very magnanimous. Just see, try to understand this point. From the definition of devotional service point of view, all these four people are Kanishtas. But Krishna's point of view, they're extremely udara. Udara sarva evahi. You know, I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or another acharya explained, Krishna is explaining these four people, he's kind of, you know, raising his hands. You know, sab log mahan hai. Sabke sab mahan hai. All these four people are great. But actually they are not. It is Krishna's greatness that is accepting all these four people are great. So if I apply that, oh, Krishna is calling, do paise ke liye bhi jata, wo bhi udar hai. To kyun nahi jana chahiye Bhagwan ke paas? No, he is not actually udar. He is miserly. Why? Because he is using Krishna for his benefit. So that is first, material enjoyment. And second, he practices bhakti for the cause of fame, his own fame. Ki I need to make my name here. by some means. I'll do devotional service to Krishna, but my name has to be there. My picture has to be there in the book. You know, my name has to be there in the book. How many times my name has come? I remember one, I think Jayadvaita Maharaj saying, he said during a BTG article. And this was many, many years back. There was a competition amongst the devotees. You know, there was, I don't want to say that, there was a competition amongst the senior people. Meet, you know, such and such person. No, so they'd be talking, okay, this year, this month, my name has to come. So there was a kind of a system amongst devotees. Old BTGs. Why? Because the name has to be there. So when the name concept comes, and bhakti is unfortunately contaminated by mode of passion. And passion means the resources are limited. And because the resources are limited, and the demand is great, there will be natural competition. And when there is a competition, there is a conflict. By some means, not that consciously, but consciously or unconsciously, I try to take away others' facility also towards myself. So that fame, he explains, that is also a problem. And third is opulence. That unless I become opulent like Lord Narayan, you know, there is worse. When you achieve mukti in the spiritual world, you have the opulence of Krishna. Of course, a pure devotee does not want this also. But when does he talk about this? After crossing all these levels. Opulence, and these are the three things. And then Kapil Muni explains, he doesn't even accept bhakti in the mode of goodness. What is bhakti in the mode of goodness? In bhakti in the mode of goodness, there is complete cooperation from one devotee towards another devotee. Everybody according to their propensity, and Prabhupada very beautifully defines what is bhakti in the mode of goodness. According to one's propensity, one is kshatriya, brahmana, vaishya, shudra, one is grahastha, vanaprastha, brahmachari, sannyasi, four varnas and four ashramas. He said all these varnas and ashramas, according to their level and according to their propensity, according to their swadharma, they engage in Krishna service, so they are not affected by somebody else. A kshatriya is not affected by a brahmana. Arey, brahman itna bada lecture de raha, hajaro log baithe hain, mujhe bhi lecture dena chahiye. No? So he is not affected by that. And a brahmana is not affected by a kshatriya's opulence and kshatriya's power to control. A kshatriya is a great manager. No, he manages things. You know, he makes things happen properly. A brahmana cannot do it. Brahmana can only give concepts. But kshatriya, using that concept, he executes and he gets the name also. And if the brahmana thinks, idea mera or naam uska. So that's what creates a conflict. Just see how varnashram system was so scientific that if you are not happy where you are situated and you superimpose somebody else's nature and try to achieve that, you can never be happy. And that's what causes insanity and madness. Always looking for doing something else. Always looking for doing something else. And a vaishya, you know, brahmana gives the concept, kshatriya creates the governance, and vaishya makes the money. No? Unless there is a proper system, and unless there is a proper governance, vaishya cannot make money. In fact, it is explained that some vaishyas were so powerful during some of the kings were doing actual work based upon varnashram dharma. The vaishyas were more wealthier than the kings. Why? Because vaishya actually owns the property. King does not own. Very interesting that king cannot divide the kingdom. A vaishya can divide his property and give it to his sons. But king cannot do it. Why king cannot do it? Because the king's property is not king's property. He is actually ruling on behalf of the kingdom. Therefore in the Ramayana it is explained when Lord Ram gave all the kingdom as a charity to Brahmanas. So Brahmana said, now you take back. He said, it is our property, but you take care of it. What belongs to a Brahmana is not controlled by Brahmana. What controlled by Kshatriya does not belong to a Kshatriya. Just see what a scientific method is. So king can never say, like Shyamananda was giving an example of an African king. You know, he was not practicing Varnashram Dharma. He said the country's debt and his personal property were equal. The country's debt was few billion dollars and his personal property also was all that much. That means what? He looted the country and put country into debt and he made that into his personal property. That will not work like that. And Shudra, you know, just see the loyalty of a Shudra. In Kali Yuga, people when they are called you are a Shudra, they feel offended. But if you actually study Shudra quality, none of us were fit to be called a Shudra also. Why? Because always hankering. Arey, mujhe ye karna hai, mujhe idhar jana hai, mujhe wo karna hai. There is continuous hankering amongst people that always wanting to do something else other than what they have to do. And what is Shudra? Shudra means complete loyalty at his work. Complete loyalty. He is completely satisfied in doing what he is doing. And therefore Bhishmadev tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, he said the paricharya of a Shudra, the paricharya of Shudra is nothing but representation of Lord Vishnu. I like this statement. That paricharya of a Shudra is a representation of Vishnu. So therefore, these four ashramas and four varanas are so deeply rooted. And if somebody practices like that, then there is a complete coordination. There is complete harmony. Why would somebody look somewhere else to practice devotional service? A Vaishya is practicing his own devotional service. A Brahmana is practicing his own devotional service. A Shudra is practicing his own devotional service. And a Kshatriya is practicing his own devotional service. There is no conflict, there is no contradiction. So therefore, only in the mode of goodness where someone is practicing devotional service based upon one's own nature, a student's nature is different and the teacher's nature is different and a professional person's nature is different. Krishna has created everybody's nature differently and utilizing that nature, propensity in Krishna's service and growing, not based upon comparing others, will lead to Shuddha Bhakti. Shuddha Bhakti is not accidental. You know, yes, we understand Shuddha Bhakti, but to practice Shuddha Bhakti, one has to be self-satisfied. And if that self-satisfaction is not there, then there is always a disturbance in Krishna consciousness. Then our Kapil Muni explains to Mother Devahuti that when you practice Krishna consciousness by the process of hearing, when the nectar of Krishna's pastime goes into our ears, when we hear Krishna's pastime, and based on those pastime, when we engage in the devotional service of the Lord, then we can actually cross over the bhakti which is in the three modes of material nature. I remember one time Gaurangpa was mentioning, he quoted that somebody said, then in the fourth canto there is the explanation of these three kind of bhakti. Daksha Prajapati's bhakti is in the mode of ignorance. And you know what happens? When you practice bhakti in the mode of ignorance, then there will be too many Daksha Prajapatis and his followers. And there are followers of Lord Shiva. They came to perform yajna. And yajna turned out to be another yajna. You know, there was war yajna. They are pulling each other's hair, you know, feasting, you know, hitting on their teeth and then broke the teeth of people. Actually, this is a description of the refined people, civilized people in Satya Yuga, not in Kali Yuga. So when Tamoguna is there, and that was the problem. Daksha was a devotee. Daksha's followers were devotee. Lord Shiva's followers are also followers of Lord Shiva, who is a pure Vaishnava. But there was a trouble. And Dhruva Maharaj's bhakti was in the mode of passion. Because he wanted something much superior than what his great grandfather had, Lord Brahma. And because he wanted that, at certain point of time, he created a suffocation to the entire universe. The demigods got suffocated and therefore they came to Lord Vishnu. Arey, save us, you know, this child is suffocating us. But Prithu Maharaj's bhakti, which was practicing, you know, worshipping Lord Vishnu, wanting to perform 100 sacrifices which disturbed Indra. That is material world. If somebody goes higher than me, a natural tendency that success leads to pride in those people who are successful, and those who are not successful, they become envious. This is unavoidable, unfortunately. That is the psychology of a conditioned soul. Success makes one proud, and when we see somebody else being successful, that makes us envious. So we are constantly fighting our base qualities. And what to speak of transcending that? And that we can transcend by hearing the sweet description of Vrindavan pastime. And actually, you know, as Maharaj was explaining yesterday, in engaging in practical devotional service, as long as I do not identify, if I only lament and grumble, or I want to do this service, but you know, there are already people, मुझे तो गोपीनाथ का श्रृंगार करना है तो मिलता ही नहीं है नो मुझे तो ये करना है बट आई डोंट गेट बट हियर दिस लेडी एंड दिस सोल्जर दे सेड नो आई मे नॉट बी एबल टू शूट बट आई विल टेक अ बुलेट आई वाज क्वाइट इंस्पायर्ड बाय दिस कॉन्सेप्ट दैट एवरीबडी कैन बी अ पार्टिसिपेंट एवरीबडी कैन बी अ परफॉर्मर ही सेड बीइंग अ स्पेक्टेटर मीन्स व्हाट अ स्पेक्टेटर बिकम्स अ क्रिकेट कॉमेंटेटर sitting in the box and commenting about everybody. You know, idhar wo galti kiya, udhar wo galti hai, isne aisa kiya, usne waisa kiya, aisa karta tha, aisa achha rehta tha. Even the players who had gone through this, you know, they also comment about other player, you know, about, you know, they should have done like this, they should have done like that. So, the analysis is not difficult. Shishupal could analyze Krishna. You know, here he is wrong, there he is wrong. He could find hundreds of faults in Krishna. But unless we take part in the act, therefore Prabhupada defines bhakti as what? He doesn't define bhakti as an experience. He defines bhakti as an active engagement. So unless that active engagement is there, which begins with the principle of shravanam and kirtanam. You know, like Prabhupada, therefore he created such a wonderful system. That morning, evening, there is sadhana, and daytime, there is execution of that sadhana, as a practical seva. When a devotee engages like this, and based upon his own tendencies, you know, that is the most important principle, that I do not have to imitate somebody else's swadharma. And that is the problem with the material world. The modern material world is all about wanting to be accepted by others. Recently I was in Ahmedabad, and I met one educationalist, very amazing lady. She was a professor of an English language. She quit. She realized, you know, this is not working. I teach English language, but people are becoming more and more ghati. Yeah, seriously. And we see this, unfortunately, that I tell this to children. A village man, he gives bad words. And one who is educated English person writes bad word on the mobile phone. And I was quite shocked when I saw first time, you know, people, you know, for some reason somebody showed me. I was aghast. He said, how can you put on writing? How can you put on writing? And who are you? You are all educated people. Sophisticatedly educated. You are taught how to dress. You are taught how to behave. But you are writing bad words on the, you know, it's like a permanent. It's there in the environment and their system also. Anytime you can fetch it. Bad words writing. So she was saying, you know, I was quite disillusioned by the whole process of education system. And what is this education system? This education system is based upon only creating consumers. Only creating consumers. On the other hand, the education system which is based on the Vedic concept is the education system of sacrifice. And again, Shikshastra was telling, he said he had a very good teacher. He gave an example of how maths was taught in the Vedic system and how maths is taught now. He gave an example. He said, in the Vedic system, a teacher would teach a student, you have 5 rupees. And you give 1 rupees 50 paisa to old lady. No, she has nobody, you give 150 to her and 50 paisa to orphan. So how much money remained? You know, okay, you are learning subtraction. But you are learning values. I need to help a poor person. So along with maths, you are learning human values. So this teacher told, on the other hand, when the Britishers came and they started teaching maths, they said, you have 5 rupees. And the Cadbury chocolate cost 7 rupees. So what happened? You know, they are teaching addition, but subtracting your human values. And marketing their product through mathematics. He said, so vicious that when that kind of quality is taken away from the children of human values, then what remains is simply a base animalistic propensity, just consumerism. So she was saying, that's a very sad part, that we are wanting to be recognized. And she made a very nice statement. I'll conclude with this one. She said, we are called as a developing country, India. I said, why should we take them seriously? I said, who gave them the mandate? Who gave them the mandate to call that we are a developing country? You know, what is the right for you to judge, you know, our culture to be called as now you are developing? And we feel, yes, we are a developing country. He said, what is the criteria? The criteria for a developing country means economic growth. That's all. Where the civilization focuses on only this principle of artha prapti, artha prapti, artha prapti, then what happens? The human values are finished. He said, this is not our, we will not accept it. Why should I accept it? He said, I'm not going to accept this. He said, the advancement in civilization means what? There is dharma. There is no doubt artha. And there is kama which is connected to dharma. And all these things has to give rise to a desperate desire to go back to Godhead. And how does it happen? It happens through the system of, you know, family culture. And she said, you know, people talk about opening schools. And you see, schools are opening like anything, left, right, center. And everybody wants to be an international school only, Putana schools. No? No. And I'm telling you why, because she made a very interesting point, quoting from the Mahabharata. I was quite amazed by her concept. He said, school is on the fifth level. He said, after the Mahabharata was over, Mahabharata war was over, there was the bad rulers were taken out, but the good rulers were put. But the good rulers, to rule nicely, they need a think tank. So therefore, the Shaunak Rishi, he called 80,000 rishis from all over Bharat Bhumi, Bharat Varsha, because they are the one who will give concepts how to run. And they were churning, discussing. They were the think tanks. After discussing how things should run now, a kshatriya is good at destroying the bad things, but he needs a brahmana to understand how to create good things. He will implement that. So they spend their time, how many years? 12 years. 12 years is like a tapasya. 12 saal tapasya karne ke baad, a conclusion comes out. What is good? The next 12 years, you travel around the entire country, changing the opinion of people. Mat parivartan. Now their mat is a wrong mat. We need approval of, you know, Western world to consider that we are progressive. You know, you need money. Just money. Chant. Money. No? So unless the money is there, you cannot progress. So they traveled around across the globe, talking about this, changing people's attitude. Once you change the attitude, then you focus on the family, because family is the one which creates legacy. Family is God made. You know, and corporations are man made. And what are the corporations do? They destroy the family, unfortunately. Keep the father away from the family for hours to, you know, gather, years together, days together, months together, keep them far away from the family. So very sad, very unfortunate. And she made a very interesting point. She said, at certain level, you know, yes, our people are creating good people. You know, there are good people. But these good people are working for bad people. And these good people really work very hard because they're good. But whom are they working? They're working for bad people. You know, she is like 67-year-old lady. You know, she has seen the world. You know, she was a professor in a college. Then for next 20 years, she became a preacher. And she stopped preaching also. She said, I need to create some foundational education system. And then when you talk to the family, that family culture is most important. You have to stay together. And from there comes a very good progeny. Sabse acha progeny aayega, which has a proper samskaras. At the age of 5, that child is completed with 9 samskaras. And what is samskara? Samskara is like continuous cleaning. You know, in our temple we have maintenance department. And before that, when the maintenance department was not there, Maharaj was moving around everywhere. You know, dirtiness here, here there is dirt, there is... And we would say, hey, toh kya hua? You know? But when the maintenance department came, you know, Gaurang Prabhu, Vasudev Prabhu and others took the responsibility. Continuous, there were 100... More people came to work and continuously the people are cleaning. And if you don't do it, अरे पिछले साल किया था ना? No, पिछले साल किया, लेकिन कल फिर से पिछले साल नहीं. Next day only there is dirt. So samskaras are like that. There has to be a continuous reformation of the dirt which is put by the three modes of material nature. So family creates that facility. So from there comes a good progeny and train the progeny. And when the family is trained with good progeny, then the fourth level is to train the teachers. And fifth level is to open the school. No, why? Because only when these systems are there, then you can give good education. And therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is like that kind of school. And how much emphasis Prabhupada gave on Varnashram? He said, this is my 50% work, has to be done. And where does it begin? It begins with the education. And unfortunately, some or other, you know, there is less emphasis. Even by the, you know, those who are running and the parents also. They think Krishna will take care. No, Krishna will only take care when we actually seriously get involved in creating such generation of people who will be leaders. You can't make insane people a leader of Krishna consciousness. You can't make a passionate person to be a leader of Krishna consciousness. You cannot make people who are in the mode of ignorance to be a leaders, because they'll abuse people. Only those who are sane, full of sanity, have those samskaras. You know, they have gone through these samskaras properly. When they are trained, when they take up to Krishna consciousness, when they become the leaders of Krishna consciousness movement, then there is a legacy. Then Krishna consciousness will grow. And then, rather than making artha as our main goal, then what will happen? Our prema will become main goal. Then we can relish the pastimes of Vrindavan in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? जय श्री ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की।